And then Alexa, for whatever reason, he didn't play well, right?
I think we all know the reason, Javi. You can just admit it.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of using this as a weapon against somebody in particular.
This is the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge Podcast with Javi Gancedo and Frankie Sachs.
Welcome to episode number 28 of the EuroLeague Fantasy Challenge Podcast. I am Frankie Sachs, and I'm here with Javier Gancedo, who seems pleased that I didn't flub the beginning.
Yeah, well, no, 28 episodes is a lot, man. It's we thought it was going to be only like a pilot, and here we are, almost at the end of the regular season, and still going strong.
Still going strong. We're going to plow through until the Final Four, where we might
Yeah,
have a
we'll
special
see.
episode for people.
Yeah, maybe two special episodes. We'll see. But we have surprises coming up. But well, one episode at a time. Let's talk. I have a new location, as you see. This is the Siskauskas room in the EuroLeague office, in the EuroLeague headquarters. But we have to talk fantasy. We have a lot of discuss. Well, first we have a limited trades, which is of course is a relief for everybody. I don't know. Now that we had this option several times, what do you think? It's been a good idea or not?
I think it's a great idea because if you're having a rough go of it, it allows you to have a reset. And if you're doing great, it also puts you in a situation where you have to recalculate and reconfigure. So I think it's been an added challenge. I've liked it. How do you feel about it?
I like it. I like it a lot, especially when you're struggling, knowing that you have the chance to redo your whole team. In my case, that I have less budget to go for the players who are on fire and not very very expensive. It's a blessing. So yeah, I think it was a very good idea, and we should keep it for the rest of, I mean, for the years to come.
Yeah, I agree. Let's look back. Last week was a bit of a tricky week, right? The scores were off the
Oh.
charts for round 30, especially anybody who had Wade Baldwin as captain. But even if they didn't, I believe you did not have him on your teams and still got 200 points.
Yeah, and I got 185 with my best team, but with this one, not really. I mean, I got 180, which is okay, but not having. But I had Baldwin in my team. Then last one in round 20, 31, I went through a little bit of trouble.
I think a lot of
Players
people did.
active. Yeah, but I had Nemanja Nedović, who kind of saved the day. Nigel Hayes-Davis underperformed, and that really hurt me. But I had Baldwin as captain. I had Nibo. I had all the players that people are having lately, and Mijatović as coach was massively chose
Yeah.
because FS played against Alba, but then they won by one, almost at the buzzer, with a game-saving block by Tyreek Jones. So,
Right.
like I said, you never know.
A lot of people also had Shane Larkin as captain for Thursday, and
Yeah.
he was ill, which no one saw coming, and did not perform well. And then they had Baldwin as the backup on Friday, and he played okay, but certainly not captain level.
Yeah, totally. The player that actually saved me, other than Nedovic, was Ambas Butkevicius, who had a really good game all around. Pretty much what I expected. I mean, this player, when he's healthy, he can do a little bit of everything: steals and blocks and rebounds. And he's not a great scorer. I mean, he can score when given the chance. But it's a player that I like a lot, and I'm glad that he's playing well. So, and then Alexa, for whatever reason, he didn't play well, right?
I think we all know the reason, Javi. You can just admit it.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking of using this as a weapon against somebody in particular.
But yes,
Just
Alexa had three great games in a row when Javi did not pick him up. Then he decided to take him, and hence the Gancedo curse has taken Alexa off the fantasy radar. And we'll have to discuss whether we want to have him now or not.
let's say there's one particular player who blocked me on Twitter for no reason. And that player, I mean, if you see him in my playoff lineup, you'll know who it is. I'm gonna try to fix it before then. I mean, it's outrageous. But anyway, we have three turns in this round, and I think this is very important. Added to the limited trades, is a great, well, it's a great opportunity to get a solid score because you can put one star per turn, and that way, I mean, it's very unlikely that you'll have a captain that doesn't perform well, right? I mean, that's what's going to be my strategy at least.
No, I agree. One of the first things I did when I looked in and I realized that Maccabi had the game on Wednesday, which is great because it's Maccabi against Valencia on Wednesday. Not every game has a built-in potential captain, but Wade Baldwin at this point is a player that almost everybody could consider as a potential captain. So you have him as a possibility, or Josh Nebo, or Bonzi Colson, who other people who are, have all those are potential captains for Wednesday. You have six games on Thursday where there's many choices. And then Friday is only three games, but I went there. I looked specifically for a player who could be my potential Friday captain if I was not happy with what happened so far. And I took one of your guys who you've been happy with, Nigel Hayes-Davis.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I went for Baldwin and Nebo for the first game. And no Valencia players because, I mean, the only one that I like a lot is Damien English. And I don't want to have Nebo and English and burn all my chances of center in the same day, just in case they both play bad. Then it's unlikely, but it could happen. My star for the second day is who's going to be? Yeah, I think it's going to be. No, I'm looking at the round 31 lineup. I was like, what the hell is this? Yeah, I have a Larkin for round two, for the second turn, and for the third turn also I have Hayes Davis. So and I bought Costello as a backup point center just in case Davis doesn't play. I mean, Nebo doesn't play well, or I need to play him because he's been playing really well. And I think last year he had a 30 something point performance against Efes, so that could bring good memories and inspire him to play well. I mean, the way I see it.
Well, I actually did exactly what you're saying. I thought about having Damian Inglis also. I did not in the end, but not for the reason that you suggested, because you could always go with the two center lineup and just keep who's ever better. But just because as a basketball fan and a fantasy fan, did I want to watch that game? And each time there's a foul in the paint, be rooting or thinking, oh, I got a point and I lost a point, and I didn't want that. I don't like to have, as a fan, my guys going against each other. So I decided just to stick with Nebo. But I have also stuck with John Di Bartolomeo, who's had a couple good games. I mean, 8 to 11 fantasy points worth, nothing huge. But at this point in the season, with Maccabi, has a lot to fight for, and we all need some cheap options. I figured, what better than to have him there on Wednesday? I keep him; he's cheap. If he gets me something nice, great. If not, who cares? I could put him on the bench. But I think he has usurped a lot of the minutes of Tamir Blatt, because sometimes they really need his shooting. Oh, they have the same level of shooting, but his defense is a lot more valuable, I think, at this point than Tamir Blatt's playmaking. And we'll see more minutes from Di Bartolomeo, or at least we have the last few weeks. And that's why I kept him as my fourth guard.
Well, Maccabi is the only undefeated team in the EuroLeague in March, and that counts a lot. But if you had to choose a Valencia player for this round, it's easy. It's going to be Semi Ojeleye. He's been amazing in the last 2 weeks, one in the EuroLeague, one in the Spanish League when they won with well by one against UCAM Murcia, missed free throw by Dylan Ennis in the end. But yeah, Ojeleye played, I think it was 25 and 23 PAR in these two games. He's on fire lately. I like his matchup against Colson. It's going to be an interesting one in terms of basketball, not in terms of him having an advantage. And so, yeah, if I had to go for a Valencia player, that would be Ojeleye for sure. Because this team, I mean, defensive minded, not high PAR in any of the games. It's difficult to choose. Also, if Davis and Touré are still sidelined, of course, Inglis
Yeah,
is a
Touré
good
played
choice.
last week.
Yeah, but he went out again in the Spanish League, so
Okay.
that's why we'll see. I mean, he's not 100%. He's trying to help, and this game is critical for Valencia. You know, there are four teams tied for 10th place at 14-17. I guess that the one that wins three games is going to qualify. Valencia has not the best calendar with road games against Maccabi and Partizan, but it could happen. I mean, it all depends on this week, and I think they're going to put everything they got on the table to try to beat Maccabi.
I also think Chris Jones is a legitimate option this week. It should be a high scoring game, and the ball goes through his hands all the time. So I did consider him, but in the end, I didn't want to overload on players on Wednesday, and there are a lot of other strong options. But I don't think Chris Jones is a bad option at all.
Yeah, well, let's talk about players who have been on fire lately. I think I was smart enough for once to choose Nemanja Nedović. who has been amazing lately. They're going to play Real Madrid. And we also have to talk about Real Madrid. They're first in the regular season. And these three games don't count as much as the others. But if I were Madrid, I would try to keep competing. So let's begin with Nedovic. What do you think about his chances against Madrid in Madrid?
Well, I think actually my thoughts about Nedovic are the same as my thoughts about most of the Real Madrid players. There's less to play for those teams. I'd like to focus most of my fantasy credits spent on players, teams who are still fighting for main goals, and you know they're going to give everything to get there. Zvezda, although they're not mathematically eliminated, I think their chances of advancing to the play-in at this point is slim. So they may already be thinking we don't want to. You know, we don't want these players to use too much energy for these games, especially against a game against Real Madrid, which could easily turn into a blowout. Although who knows, because Real Madrid at this point also does not have much to play for in the regular season. But I would be careful about someone like Nedovic. It could go the other way, by the way. Like there's that risk, and if you want to take it, you know, it could be it's just a high-scoring game with less defense, and all of a sudden he puts up 30, and he's a great pick. But I, as someone who's a little bit more conservative, I would stay away from him, and I think that's the same way. I have nobody from Real Madrid on my team, and I don't know what to expect. Even superstars there, like Campazzo and Tavares, have not put up really big fantasy numbers lately, and I don't think I'll touch... although Mario Hazonia did last week with Musa hurt. And I think I even mentioned on the podcast I wanted to take him, but I was nervous because he had been ill and sat out the Sunday league in the Sunday game in the Spanish league, and I ended up not taking him, which I wish I had. But at this point going forward, I think I'd stay away from players from both teams.
Yeah, I think Madrid is going to use these games to, well, use people who have been injured to get in some sort of form. That would be Tavares, that would be Jules. I think they're going to play more minutes than in the ACB. But I also think that it would be a mistake for Real Madrid to just slow down and wait for the playoffs, which are like a month away. I think they're going to keep playing hard. They're going to keep playing, trying to win all games, like they always do. And changing things at this point of the season would be catastrophic for them, trying to get ready for a potential playoffs opponent that is going to be the last to know also, because... when you do the play-in, the last game of the play-in is the eighth place game, which is going to be whoever plays Madrid.
That's true. So that is a slight disadvantage for the team in first place, and we'll have to see how that works as far as them preparing and scouting. And I agree with what you're saying; they shouldn't change too much. But on the other hand, I think the rotation will change just a little bit. Look, you want to use these games also to get other guys in shape in case there's an injury, in case something happens. So that I think what you said about Yui is spot on, right? There's value there, especially because he's not very expensive. Also, Elin Daye, who's had very inconsistent minutes, but maybe this is the point where you give him those minutes, try and get him back into form, because you don't know who you might need. Just like we said, Hazonia missed the Spanish League game last week because he was ill, and Musa didn't play much last week for the same reason. You don't want to hit the playoffs, and all of a sudden, the same thing goes, you know, there's a bug goes to the team, somebody gets hurt, minor injury, and they can miss a game. You want to have all those guys in game shape. So from fantasy, what can we take from that? Well, look at maybe the guys who are the cheapest players who might get more minutes. There's some value there, but I would stay away from your big ticket players on Real Madrid at this point.
Yeah. Well, before we reveal our teams, we should recommend some cheap players, right? I mean, stars, we already kind of said that, the two Maccabi stars, Nivo and Baldwin, Larkin is a good choice. Probably Lesort is a good choice. Probably Hayes Davis is a good choice. But how about the cheap players? I'm going to recommend one that I'm, I mean, I saw the game last week and against Valencia, and he played so well. Jerome Blossom game of Monaco. He's been very consistent. He's always been a good player. I remember he was MVP, or not MVP, but top PAR player 2 years ago in the regular season, the Euro Cup regular season with Radio Farmul. And now he's finally playing to that level again, or getting closer to that level. So that would be my pick. Chip pick also with Butkevicius. I think Butkevicius is going to keep it going. He's a very valuable player for Zalgiris and for Coach Trinchieri. He can do a little bit of everything, and that's very, very good for fantasy.
So So I'll give three who are all on my team, but guys who I went over the last couple of days to figure out. One I already mentioned was John DiBartolomeo. Another is Vanya Marinkovic, who has been very consistent, getting a lot of minutes for Baskonia. He scored at least 10 points, I think, in 10 or 11 straight games, and he's gotten 2 3-pointers in 6 of the last 7 games or something like that. Don't quote me on the stat, but so when you're getting that, you know, it's a couple more shots go in, all of a sudden you're talking a 20 PR for 8 credits. And again, round two, so there's always a chance to replace him in round three. So he's someone who I have on my team. And after 2 very big games last week, I don't know if we count 10 credits as cheap, but at the center position, I'm going with Frank Kaminsky, who there was never a question of the talent. There was more questions of the rotation and what's happening. And now that they've been playing a little bit, he's been playing a little bit more, sometimes alongside Bruno Caboclo. I don't know what to expect. And the matchup with Olympiacos is always a little bit tricky. But as a number two center for 10 credits, I think that he's worth the risk, and I added him to my team this week.
I would wait. I would wait to see if Saklida is back or not. If he's not, then Kaminsky, I think, is a must. If not, then I will think about it. But we'll see. We'll see. It's gonna be interesting. All right. So moving on to our teams, who do you have as head coach to begin with?
Charis.
Ah, makes sense.
Yeah, it's I like them. It's a little more expensive, but you know, I of course, Alba Berlin is certainly no team that's going to roll over. But because Fenerbahce lost their last game, I expect them to come back with a vengeance and to try and put this game away early. So that's what I went with.
Yeah, I went with Katash because he plays at home. Maccabi is always strong at home. They play, like we said, Valencia. I think Maccabi is going to win. They've been, like I said, the only undefeated team in March. So, yeah, I'm going with Katash, mainly because also I don't have the credits to... If I want to afford a player like Costello or Kaminsky, I need a cheaper coach. There's no other way I'm going to cut all the other players. So I'm going to cut on the coach, which is always, I think, not a very good idea. But I really also think that Katash will win this week, so... That's why.
No, my team. I'm also optimistic. I don't think it's a bad pick, but Maccabi doesn't have as many blowout wins this season, and I think there's a better chance that Fener might win by 20 than the Maccabi will win by 20, and that's why we're going to go that way.
Makes sense. Okay, so my team in first turn, I would have Nebo and Baldwin. I would put Baldwin as captain, but I'm still thinking about it because, like I said, if Boubacar Touré is not going to play, I think Nebo has a huge advantage in the paint. That Maccabi should use. On second turn, I have Larkin, Butkevich's Boston game, Giedraitis, only because I need a cheap guard, and Costello. And for turn three, I would have Viverovic, who has been amazing. I think he's going to be in every team. 5.4 credits, it's amazing. Hayes Davis and Matt Thomas, who has also been playing well. What I don't like about Matt Thomas is that he always gets more points than PAR. But... for 8.5 credits, I didn't find any better choice than him. So that's my team.
No, for shooters, that's often the case. And we've had that conversation all season with Marcus Howard, who's an excellent player, an excellent scorer, but not necessarily an excellent fantasy player, or at least a very inconsistent fantasy player.
Yeah, I was surprised that Jan Vesely, of all people, he had 15 points and PR of 0 against Panathinaikos. That's very unlikely to happen for a guy who rebounds so well and who barely misses shots. It was a one-of-a-kind game for him, unfortunately for Barca.
Yeah. All right, so I'll go through my team quickly. I made a big change. For months, it feels like now, I've gone with 2, if not 3, leading guards, and I lean more into forwards now. So at center, as I said, I've got Josh Nebo and Frank Kaminsky. At guard, I've kept Baldwin, and I've got DiBartolomeo, and I'm sticking with Alexa. And I'm going back to my guy Kendrick Nunn. But I'm moving away from Larkin and Mike James, mostly just so I could have a little bit more points to spend in other places. And I start to wonder at this point, are we getting to the point in the season where, you know, they're not going to put up as big numbers as their teams certainly have to win. Even Monaco is fighting thick of it to be number 2 overall. I'm not suggesting these guys are taking anything off, but I think we're at this point in the season where maybe those players. We're going to see more from other guys on their teams. I don't know. It's just a hunch, but I've been burned by them a little bit the last couple of weeks, and I decided to put more money into forwards. So that's my guards. And at forwards, I've gone to Nikola Mirotic, Chima Moneke, Nigel Hayes-Davis and Tarik Bibrovic. So I've got three legit forwards, two going on turn two, one going on turn three. I feel very strong there. Overall, I think that I'm happy with my team. It's weird for me not to see superstar guards besides Baldwin, but I have a good feeling about Nunn and Marinkovic, and I'm hopeful that when it all comes together, that I'll have another strong week.
I like Mirotic a lot this week, so we'll see. I think Milan is on the way up. To me, Milan and Partizan are the favorites to get that 10th spot. We'll see if they get it or not. We'll see if Baskonia and all the team, mainly Baskonia, falls down to be in the race of 10th place. Right now they're not because they have two win gap with three games to go. I think if they beat FS this week, they'll be top nine for sure. But we'll see. Anyway, it's going to be an exciting week.
Even within that, the way the play-in showdown sets up, there's meaning to every position, whether it's for a home game, you know, in those games or whatever it might be. So I think it's worth, before every game, checking how important games are for the teams, seeing which teams are done, might rest players, or the players might not be rested but might not play with the same motivation. But the play-in showdown, there's a difference between 7th and 8th place for that home game and between 8th and 9th place also. For how many wins you need to advance, so that's worth keeping in mind. All those players in that pack that are still fighting this will go down to round 34, and choose wisely and get those players that still have plenty to play for.
Yeah, any game that you're looking forward? I really want to see Partizan against Olympiacos. That's going to be a huge game. It's going to be a great game, and I cannot wait to see it.
No, I agree, and I watched the Partizan game last week, and I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed being able to watch it closely. I focused just on that game, blocked everything out, and that kind of turned me on to how Frank Kaminsky has been playing right lately, and the way the ball passed through his hands. One of the reasons I wanted to get him, I realized there's a change in it, so I do like that. I'm kind of looking forward to the Maccabi Valencia game, only because it's the only game on Wednesday, and that's nice.
Yeah.
To be able to focus just on one game and not to have to juggle everything else. Because no matter what else happens, the other ones, you're always, you know, when we're working, it's always, oh, what's going on somewhere else, and do I have to switch over? Or at least in my case, where I'm not covering a specific game, you are, but I'm, you know, when I'm running the website, it's always what's the game's closest to ending, or where is there something happening, or who might break a record. So I'm moving around, and you don't always get to see, you know, some of the nuances which are important. So I'm looking forward to Wednesday night where there's just one game. I can focus just on one game and enjoy it, and see Valencia and Maccabi for 40 minutes the way I have not in a while.
Yeah, well, we'll see. It's going to be fun. Remember, you can get in touch with us on X. Frankie is Mr. Euroleague. I'm Ganchetto with the double T. You can also leave us comments here if you're watching YouTube. And that's it. Best of luck.
I have to apologize. I think you also have to apologize to everybody else for ruining Alexa for us. But I need to apologize for all the people that sometimes reach out to us before games, specifically on Thursdays, and have conversations on Twitter with Javi about who to pick and last minute stuff. And I don't respond usually because I'm working while Javi is on Twitter. So I'm unable to. But I do apologize, and I do promise to try. But most of those weeks also, I did not make last minute roster changes. But I apologize for not always being in the conversation on Thursday afternoons. This week it'll be Wednesday afternoons, I suppose. But good luck to everybody, and please keep sending those questions, even if only Javi is answering. He often does give good advice.
It's called resilience, and it's called taking care of people. All right. Well, no, just kidding. Very good luck to everybody. It's been a fun experience, this podcast, and let's keep it going. Like I said, we have surprises coming up, so stay tuned and see you next week.